If you have your Bibles, turn back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Tonight, we're going to continue on our study of our local church here at Clear Branch. And we've tried to look back at the past and how that we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Bible gives us that great cloud in Hebrews chapter 11. He gives us a list of those that stood faithful unto the end. Brother Ryan, that's the thought that the Lord was getting across to us, is that to be part of His church, He wants us to be faithful unto the end. Not faithful for a little while, but faithful unto the end. Now the thing, Brother Mike, that we're dealing with in our day and time is the falling away. We are dealing with that. You see it everywhere you go. I believe, you know, we see it here. We see some that were faithful for a time and no longer with us. And not as much so, and I'm thankful for that. God has blessed us richly here at Clear Branch. And yet, you do see it. You see it everywhere that there is a falling away. We also are living in a great time of confusion, where there's a lot of people that have not been raised up to have a biblical background, that they are asking, even, is there a need in going to church? Is there a need in being part of the church? And many statements are being made. Well, I can just be just as close to God staying at home. There's some that now are claiming that there's a Facebook church, and we just be part of the Facebook church, and no need to even get out of our pajamas. Just watch a preacher, hear a preacher on Facebook, and that's good enough. And of course, sermon audio could be, I guess people could look at that the same way. Now, I will say this about it. Those are tools. They are tools to reach those that are unable to be involved in the church work like they once were. It's for those that maybe are shut in. It's for those that are living in a place where maybe they're very discouraged and they're not able to find a place to go to church. And in that case, I think need to be praying that God would help them to have a church, even if it meant starting from the ground up, starting a mission point, starting, you know, from scratch and having a church extend an arm to them and then be organized into a church and to have a church. Because if a place does not have a true church within what you might say driving distance, then there needs to be. A church makes all the difference in the world in a community. Without a church, a good church in a community, that community is not going to be very good. God has allowed us to, as we look back at that cloud of witnesses, that not only do we have a list here in Hebrews chapter 11, but history declares those that have stood strong and very, very faithful. I mentioned the church in the Valley of Piedmont and the things that they had to go through and suffer and become martyrs for the cause of Christ in very, very horrific ways they had to suffer. And yet they were willing to suffer unto death. We also went back 1918 where this church was established. And you know, what a wonderful thing that someone felt strong conviction to have a church here. We can all say thank you to that. If you're a member of this church, we can thank those in the past that stood firm by conviction, that they were led by the Holy Spirit. Even as you think about our church covenant, having been led by the Holy Spirit, they were led by the Holy Spirit and covenanted together, and the church was established, and we get to be part of that. And so we've looked at the past, and we've looked at the present, and we're continuing to look at the present tonight. But we looked at togetherness, how that we are the body. And so don't let anybody try to tell you different. We don't need to think, well, we can do this on our own, or we're just as good having church at the house somewhere. You're not. We are not to forsake the assembly together with others. We are to come together as God's people, and we are to go out as God's people as well. But togetherness, we are the body of Christ. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the ones doing the reaching. We are the ones doing the going. We are the ones that the Lord uses as vessels, And you can either be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Okay, we looked at the last time we studied on this, we looked at being awake. It is the will of God that we presently wake up, that we open our eyes. The Laodicean church age is blind, and he said there's a need that we apply some eye salve, that we that our eyes are healed, and he points at repentance for that. And so we are to wake up and see the condition that we are in. You know, we have been lulled to sleep. We have been lulled into this sense of false security that everything is okay and we're doing the best we can, and at least we're doing better than other people, and yet we're just as lukewarm as we can be. And the Lord said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. I do not want you to just be lukewarm. So tonight we're going to look back at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we look back at the church in the past and it had its challenges. It had its burdens. It had its reach. And here we are today, and we can't go back and do the work they did. There's no need for it. That work has been done, and we're to move on. And the church today does not look exactly like it did when it started. It's grown just like any other body would grow. It's grown into something that should be much more mature. Now, that may not be the case. So we need to know what God would have us to do. So because this is God's work, and many, many sacrifices have been offered over the years for us to have a good church in our community. Again, looking back at the martyrs, looking back at even as this church was established in a day where money was not only scarce, probably at some moments was even unheard of. People probably didn't have any money at some point. You think about how those, no doubt that they financially sacrificed. Those that kept this church going even through maybe the Great Depression. I'm sure there's some stories that if these old walls could talk, so to speak, there'd be some stories of how, you know, people that stood firm even through things like the Great Depression, through different moments in history. And so when we look at Clear Branch, I want to get on our heart the burden that I have. I wish I could just hand it to you and let you have the burden that I have. There is a cause, and we need to make sure that we're reminded of that. There is a cause for us in our day and time, presently. Let us run the race that is set before us. So tonight we're going to continue to look at the present concerning Clear Branch. And this is, when I say that, this is a very big study. And we could spend forever addressing simply what we are to do as God's church presently. But that being said, I don't feel like we'll spend forever on it. I don't know how long we'll spend, but I don't feel like it'll be, you know, for a year or something of that nature. So I want you to be in prayer for spiritual leadership, that God would guide us through this study, and that He would help us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. You know, it's not going to do us as good if we hear it, but we don't act upon it. But if we can be doers, then it'll do some good. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I will point out, we've got a couple of preachers in the building, and I know some of you might have been anxious to hear them, and I was as well. I'd love to hear either one of them preach for us, but this is the burden that God placed on my heart, and I'm going to just be led of the Lord in that. We'll get to them at some other time. Let them preach for us at some other moment. 1 Thessalonians verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to cease reading. I guess we could have went on and got the last few verses, but that's at least enough to get the thought across. This passage covers a broad spectrum of instruction for us. I'm going to point out some things here. One, that is, we need to be awake. We've already covered that, brother. I'm not going to go back through it again. We need to be awake. We need to be watchful. We need to be sober. Not only do we need to be looking for temptations coming our way and looking for the old devil to pounce on us, I think a lot of times when we think being sober and watchful, that is what we're thinking of. But keep in mind this, God left us here to be on the offense, not simply on the defense all the time. We're not just trying to keep our head above water. We're not, rather, if you look at Jesus in the example, he said, we're to walk on it. We're not just to keep our head above water. We're not just constantly holding up our shield, hoping we don't mess up today, but rather we are to be advancing. We are to be winning souls to the Lord, and we are to be looking for every opportunity that we could possibly do that. So to be awake, to be have our eyes open, okay? Also, being vigilant, being watchful. And then another that I point out here in verse 11 is togetherness. He says that we are to come together, just to remind us of that. Now, this church is designed for us to comfort one another. I'm so glad of that. Brother Mike, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to, even though, yes, we live in a wicked time. Yes, we live in a very hard time. Yes, we live in a time where there's very few people looking to the Lord to do what's right. And yet we can come into this place and we can be comforted together. We love on one another, and we hurt when the other one hurts. We love when the other one needs to be loved. We rejoice when the other rejoices. That's the body that God has designed. That's His idea. That's what He wants for us. That's why He gave us this opportunity to be part of something so special. But now, again, verse 11, I want to hone in on this verse. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. I want to deal with that thought tonight, edify one another. We are to lift one another up. That word edify, it means literally, it means to be a house builder. It means to construct, to embolden, to set up the body for success. That's what he's telling us. When he says to edify, he's saying set one another up for success. You know, the body works in unity together. It does things in one fluid motion. The brain sends out signals and the body just acts upon that, and it works in accordance to what the brain is telling. God is our head. The Lord is our head. Jesus is the one that leads us as the body, and we are to act in accordance to that. To edify, to set up the body for success. You know, Jesus, if you look at Jesus' ministry while he was here on this earth, he didn't have any problems feeding someone. You know what? He didn't have any problems feeding someone. A lot of times you hear people say, well, we shouldn't feed or we shouldn't do this or that. Oh, the problem is with the mindset there. When Jesus fed somebody, he had something bigger in mind than just feeding them. Yeah, he fed 5,000 people, but he did that so he could continue to teach them the truth. Rather than have them walk away, go back home, he fed them. He did that for edification, that he could lift up, that he could help them. All right, let me give you another example. Paul rebuked Peter to the face. You know he did that for edification? That don't seem like it, does it? When you read that, and let's for just a moment, let's pause and take away what we know about that story. About how that later on Peter went back and he praised the great beloved brother Paul and all of that. Even no doubt was very thankful that Peter did what he did. I'm sorry, Paul did what he did. So let's take all that away just a minute. You've got one man that reacts a certain way and kind of he separates himself when he sees Jews walk in. He's been hanging out with all these different Gentile people. He's been preaching to them. He's been eating with them. And all of a sudden some Jews surprise him and they show up and he kind of gets away from them like he never was there in the first place. And he walks over and sits down with his Jewish friends there. And Paul saw what was going on, and even how that not only was it Peter, but some of the others began to follow suit and do what he said. And Paul stood up before everybody and openly rebuked him to the face. He said, because he was to blame. He did that for edification. He did that not to hurt Peter. He did that, he wasn't trying to embarrass him. He wasn't trying to show that, well, I'm better than Peter ever thought he was to begin with. It wasn't Paul trying to lift himself up by stomping on a brother. What he was doing was, the Word of God is more important than anybody's feelings. It's more important how anybody feels about this. We have got to right a wrong so that there won't be a dissimulation. So that there won't be a split, a schism in the body. We've got to fix this, nip it, as Barney Fife says, nip it in the bud. We've got to nip this in the bud, right here, right now. It's important that we do that, and he did that for edification. The body of Christ is just that important, that whatever we do it for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus healed a demoniac, didn't he? The intent there, he healed him. Yes, that's a good thing. And I'm sure the demoniac appreciated the fact he healed him. And yet the intent was to send him on a show and tell mission that caused revival in a small city. When Jesus come back, the people were glad that he come back. They wanted to hear him. Clear Branch, we are presently operating as the body of Christ. Everything we do is to be done to promote Christ. Everything. Everything we do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. That's to be us. That should be our mindset. And I didn't know these preachers were going to show up here tonight, and I already had a little side note written down. I'm going to just go ahead and use it. Brother Allen, he goes out. He is an extended arm of this church. You know, he represents us everywhere he goes. He represents Clear Branch. He is a minister sent out from this church. That being said, everything he does is to be done for edification. And everything we do, we need to look and say, well, how can I edify him? How can I set him up for success? How can I encourage him? Brother Brandon, the same way, extended arm of this church. Brother Austin, an extended arm of this church. We send them out. It would be real easy just to, well, they're gone. Forget about it. That's not what God wants out of us. He wants us to remember them very well for the work's sake. They hold an office. They represent Christ. We need to know the work they're doing. And we need to support the work they're doing. And I believe, even ask the Lord, help us to know how we can edify these branches of our church work. How can we lift them up? Maybe it's show up for revival. Maybe it's send a card. Maybe it's just stop in for coffee. I know Brother Brandon don't drink coffee, but we'll stop in and visit with him. Or whatever the case may be. May just be simply kneel in fervent prayer for them. Or just a, you know, encouraging word. Be surprised how many preachers are starving for just an encouraging word. Just some encouragement. Think about Brother Buddy and Sister Jackie. Been working in Honduras. You know, actually for quite some time there. Been going over, and I know Miss Jackie's went several times. Brother Buddy's went with her several times. They went together several times. And, oh, I wonder how we can edify them in that work. You say, well, maybe it's not the Lord's will we do anything. Look, I've been praying about it. I don't know about you, but I've been praying about it. And as the Lord leads, I want to be more involved in it. It's a good thing, teaching kids how to read in a place where they might not get that privilege any other way. Might even learn something about Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. That's something we need to consider. I wonder, and I'm not just trying to point them out as they're the only ones doing any kind of work in the church. Quite the contrary. I wonder what I can do in my community that might bring someone to Christ. That'll edify this body more than anything else. Whenever we get hungry about souls, am I living in a way that is edifying? Not am I living in a way so God won't strike me down. Am I living in a way so that I won't mess up or Lord won't chasten me in some kind of way? No, am I living in a way that somebody might see me and want what I have? Am I edifying the church body? Am I lifting it up? Am I building it up? Am I speaking in a way that is edifying? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now that's the Lord said that, not me. But it's the truth. Let no, zero, communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying. If what you say does not edify the work of God, it's better off not to say it. Oh, you said a bad word. How many times do you hear something like, oh, I said a bad word. Or, my, that sure is some juicy gossip. Or did you hear what she said? You hear what's going on over there? These things should not come out of our mouth ever. You know, I heard some Christians, by their own profession, Christian people, I believe they are, they were discussing what bad words really were. Well, I don't even think that's really a bad word. It got pretty deep real quick. Oh, because some of them, well, they just bad words. But I just don't think that's a bad word. I don't think that's a bad word. I'm going to say this about it. It's not even about the words. It's about hindrance versus grace. Our speech is to always minister grace unto the hearers. And if it don't, it don't have to be a bad word. It can just be a discouraging word. It can just be a word said as you fly off the handle that offends someone. He said, let your words be good to the use of edifying. It's the communication that is your, let me just ask the question. Is your communication, is it edifying? Is it building up the Lord, His dear church? Is it building up the church? Because my dear church here at Clear Branch is the pillar and the ground for the truth. Anything that hinders that, we need to do away with. Anything. Because this church is too important to hinder it. It is too important to hinder the work that God set us here to do in the first place. It is the city on a hill that cannot be hid. Am I a stepping stone or my stumbling block representing Jesus? Look at verse 14, if you will. I know we're going a little bit long. Verse 14, just back up in that same chapter, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. We presently, God's church, growing up, there's a need for us no longer be tossed to and fro in an age where things are so confusing for so many people. It's not confusing for us. We have God's Word. Nothing's changed. We have the same Word our pawpaws had. We have the same Word that them 13 charter members had. We have the same word that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke on the shores of Galilee. We have God's word. We have so learned. This is an anchor. We don't have to be tossed to and fro. So we no longer have to be tossed to and fro. We speak the truth in love. Don't leave that part off. Speak the truth in love. We are fitly joined together. You know, God led you here for a reason. You know, it's amazing when you think about my story, how I grew up down in Perry County and moved way off up there to Sebastopol, Mississippi. It just so happened to meet a girl down here around the Hattiesburg area. We get married, meeting in a bowling alley by the strangest coincidence whatsoever. Get married, move to Sebastopol. You think that's the last you ever hear out of me? End up pastoring in Natchez. And yet the Lord put on my heart, I need to be a member of this church. After he called me to pastor. And whenever I told my wife, I said, I think God wants us to move. She said, I do too. He settled us both to be part of this church. It's a sweet thing to be led of the Lord and be part of this great, wonderful body. Let me take heed how I build hereupon. As we consider this house, let us remember we are the lively stones making up a spiritual house. Let me take heed how I build hereupon. Thereupon, you take heed how you build upon this old house. Are you building up this place? Are you setting up this church for spiritual success? Presently, we should be doing all we can do to build. I say build up this body. You say, well, you're talking about building up the church. It's hard to separate Christ from the church because the church is the body of Christ. Let him increase and let me decrease. That's for a verse of a song.